He was against what the Rambam did with philosophy. He says the critical philosophy led the Rambam astray. He says that it criticizes the Rambam because the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah that there are no such thing as Shadim, right? There are no good demons. And the Gra in his commentary, Shulchan, says that the accursed philosophy led the Rambam astray. It's not that philosophy itself was puzzle, but rather, if you believe that the philosophical system was the only system, and that Chazal had to mesh with the philosophical system, that was what bothered him about the Rambam.
But he was a
Rambam.
The Rambam was a
Rishon.
How could he fight with the Rambam?
The Gra didn't think in those terms.
How could the
Rambam? The Gra himself told his student Chaim Volozhiner that he is allowed to argue with Rishonim up to the Rosh, just Mitzvara, only based on sheer logic, and up to the Ramban, based if he has evidence. That hard and fast rule which we have today is the direct result of the moron factor, right? Which is that since we're all stupid, of course, we're Achman's not supposed to argue with Rishon. But the Rav Trevor does it all the time. The Rav Trevor was this road wreck. Yeah, so it's only a hard and fast rule for us, not for them.
Wait, when you say he, you mean the Rav? The Rav declared that he himself could argue with Rishon.
No, he told a plan of worship his student to argue with Rishon. Kav Chomer himself. So he told the student that a student could do it.
Is it
permissible to leave your
wife and just
pack it
to
go to Eretz
Yisrael?
Yes.
It is.
I heard too, is it true that Moshe Rabbeinu, after Har Sinai, he didn't go back to his wife? He was separated from his wife. Yeah, but I don't think it was for the rest of his life. It's for the time, I think after the Jews sinned, he probably went back home because it was only during the time when he had a special relationship with Hashem that he had to remain in a state of intense purity.
Did the Gra say that the Rambam didn't Kabbalah because he studied philosophy?
No.
Did people say that though?
Maybe they do.
I've heard that before.
I think it's baloney.
Right.
But hey, that doesn't prevent people from saying it.
Right.
Yeah. So we have to understand Michael's question is a good one. What happened to the Gra seems to be have been a prototypical Purim Derech Eretz, type of person. So believing in secular studies. So what exactly happened in the course of history? So we have to understand in two ways. First of all, the basic understanding is, well, in theory we're pro secular studies. And if we were the Gra, we would learn secular studies. But we're just morons. Right, so therefore, it's hard enough for us to we're stupid. It's hard enough for us to master Torah studies. We're not going to be able to do it if we also spend time in secular studies.
So then we don't need to learn algebra.
And
we don't have jobs.
Math or... Yeah, but the Gra didn't learn for a job. See, that already, that position is not Gra. The Gra never worked a day in his life. He learned the secular studies Lishma. It's a very different position than pragmatic. Yeah.
Then by that token, would they say that we shouldn't learn anything that's not completely 100% towards us being a better understanding? But I mean, like, what about like very simple?
The law said for each measure one lacks in secular wisdom, one lacks tenfold measures in Torah. Mm-hmm. Powerful statement, right? That assumes. Although I cannot understand why one would have to know algebra or trigonometry, which I, Baruch Hashem, managed to forget almost in its entirety, in order to understand Torah, obviously the Gra is different than me.
He came up with the mathematical law.
There's a mathematical theorem called Cramer's theorem, which the Gra's machlokes is what the Gra's last name was.
Mm.
It was Cramer or Landau. Okay, and there also was a book which was written based on his theories called, or rather, he actually founded this book, Ayin Mishulash, which is actually the basic geometry primer. It's not an advanced step, but it's the basic geometry primer which the Gra felt should be published. because people who are supposed to know should know geometry in order to appreciate many subjects in Gemara.
Was there anybody who was poor learning English, like
Simpson
or
Horace? So, let me give the other answer first. The other answer is that, not the stupid answer, but the educational system answer, which is, yes, you can go and learn secular studies, but on your own time. In yeshiva, we can't teach you secular studies. A yeshiva has to be, a yeshiva meaning for the young lads, first coming up with the system, that has to be completely kodesh. Later on, after you graduate from yeshiva, so to speak, so then you can go ahead and study whatever secular studies you want, you feel necessary, in the gross case, many secular studies, during your own time, but not during the time you're in yeshiva. Now the truth is, as many of you know, high school educations are detrimental to a large extent. Mm-hmm. High schools usually leave us stupider than when we got in. Who has that experience? Yeah.
I got
yeah.
smart.
Is that?
I got pretty smart.
You got smart in high school because of high school.
Yeah,
despite
high school.
What?
High school.
That's pretty impressive. You obviously went to a good school.
I'm not talking about this. I told you.
Okay.
We went to the same high school. Michael thought this was a great experience.
I agree.
In my high school, I managed to get an A. I think I told you once this, but somebody maybe not. I managed to get an A on a report on the jungle by Sinclair Lewis without ever having read the book. So therefore,
yeah.
I didn't need to read those. I was what for five pages, the beginning page, the end, read the back, you know. So the quality of education, certainly in Jewish schools, leaves a lot to be desired. So one really can only pursue secular studies and math if one has a drive to do so on one's own, or one meets one of those rare gifted teachers which come along in Jewish schools very, very rarely, which actually inspires you to like the subject which they're teaching. I'm sure in secular schools they also come along relatively rarely, but more frequently than in Jewish schools. So therefore, the idea of secular studies per se is not forbidden, but the idea of secular studies being part and parcel of the educational system, that's what is rejected.
Is pro-secular education just for himself and people in his
no.
league? Everyone.
Oh, no. By other people, let me go back a moment. Let me ask the question by explaining something else, okay, about the Gra and his time. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who was a student of the Gra, with the Gra's encouragement, founded the first modern yeshiva, which is the yeshiva of
Volozhiner.
Right. Now, what does it mean the first modern yeshiva? There were yeshivas from everywhere. Over the class, so went they had yeshivas, right? But what yeshivas were, until the Gra's time, were places towns where there was a Rav, and the Rav had around him a group of Talmidim who gathered to learn with that Rav, and they learned together with the Rav whatever the Rav wanted to teach them. And if the Rav passed away, then the yeshiva dissolved, right? The Rav moved out to another town, the yeshiva moved with him. There was no set permanent yeshiva which transcended the personality which founded or taught in it. So therefore, in the Gra's time, there was no education. Nobody got an education in the sense that there was a school system. You had a Malamed who taught you early on in life how to read, write, and Chumash. If you were a better student, you got another Malamed who taught you Gemara, right? Another tutor. And if you were a greater student, then eventually you went to a city, attached yourself to a Rav, then learned Torah by him. If you were a great Talmid Chacham and did not yourself want to become a Rav, So you sat in a Beit Medrash for the rest of your life and learned. And that was called, those people were called Prushim. People who sat in a society just sat and learned. But there was no educational system. The first educational system, in essence, and this also was only, you know, so to speak, a college-level educational system, was, I guess, high school, college level, was the one in Volozhin. And Volozhin was the first yeshiva which actually had, so to speak, a formal curriculum. In Volozhin, the way that they would go through, it was very different than our curriculum. They would learn the whole day the same thing, and they would finish Shas every 6 years, which is quicker than Daf Yomi. So they actually had a set curriculum which didn't leave much time, certainly in the course of the schedule of the day, for adding secular studies. And nice, if you want to do whatever you want to do, you could do. But later on, when the Russian government, towards the end of the existence of the Russian yeshiva, pressed for them to introduce secular studies, so they did in fact introduce a couple of hours a day of secular studies. But they weren't exciting. It was just like basic Russian and things like that. And the Bachman didn't go. Right? Because, A, it was exciting. B, I'm sure they were just as good as yeshiva high schools have education today. And therefore, a short time later, the Russians came and closed the yeshiva. That was in the late 1880s. So there never developed a system in which the Gra would have said, okay, we have a system of schools, a network of schools, let us now teach in these schools the final curriculum of secular studies. This is 100 years away, at least. Actually, 150. The late 1800s is the first time you see a developed school system in Eastern Europe. Western Europe is earlier, because Western Europe, in line with the general society, developed a broader school system earlier. But the girl couldn't say, okay, let's go start schools and let's go teach secular studies. So it didn't exist. I referred to you before. No. Mm-hmm. Michael said he doesn't understand how possibly the Gra could have said that you need to know music in order to appreciate Torah. And I said, you might be able to explain it to us.
I appreciate music, like Torah?
No, not to like Torah, to understand it. You know the famous story about the Gra that you said the most important discipline to learn in order to be able to properly understand Torah is music?
Not rock and roll, but the classroom.
Music theory.
I gotta think about that one. My initial instinct was to say, when I read the Parsha, I just hear a big rap video. I don't know if that conveys the idea while I first think about
it. Okay. In any event, so...
there is all the science and there is some life in the music science.
Yes. It is said about the Gra, to jump ahead again, in response to what you just said, that the last few years of his life, he learned just Chumash. Because everything he knew, he found in the Chumash itself. So I assume that the system of Trump had a very significant part in that. And so, you know... There's a famous work from the Gra on the Megillah. Did I mention it? No, I didn't mention it. It says, "Ubagia torna na'arov na'arov levol ha'melech." When each girl turned came to go to the king, so the trump on that is, who knows? You know what the trump is on that?
Yeah.
Are you said over there over the Gra?
Something
else that it's not. No, that's the next one. This one is the Kadmo Ba'azwa. Right, every girl says, whatever. So there's Kadmo Ba'azwa, which he translates as going early, getting up early, and going. It was willfully going. It says, Ubagia, so right there, but Ba'avichai, don't Mordechai. There, the trap is Munach, Munach, Revia, or whatever it is. So Munach means it rested in place. So it says, sit in place. So the way the Gra explained is that every other girl went with great eagerness to the king, whereas Esther, she remained and tried to stay away, and she had to be compelled to go to the king. The Gra does it a lot. That's just one of the famous examples I remember offhand. So yes, he does, Trump obviously does play a role, but I don't think that's all he meant. Yeah.
It seems to like,
poo-pooed the first pedic that we're more on today.
I poo-pooed it?
Yeah. Or we're...
I didn't mean to poo-poo it.
Oh, okay.
I'm a moron.
I want to defend, yeah. I want to defend the like text because we are morons. And I think geniuses sometimes don't always clap that not everyone else is a genius on them.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've noticed this a lot. So you might think, yeah, of course, we're going to take your studies, but we're not him. And it's not going to enhance our Avodas Hashem like it did his.
Right.
The tendency for geniuses to assume that everyone else is like in their league. They don't understand how someone could be so stupid.
One of the Baruch Soloveitchik's sons from Chicago told me that he wanted to study philosophy in college. Father said, study something practical. I think it was law, I don't know exactly what it was. So he said, but you know, your brother, the love for Yosher Baer Soloveitchik, he studied philosophy in college, you know, because that was his big thing. He was a philosopher. So the Baruch Soloveitchik said to him, yeah, he was able to make a contribution. You won't be able to make such a contribution. So there are people who are able to study philosophy and make a positive contribution. Other people who study philosophy is just a total waste of time. Yeah.
What, you know, in the Hasidim, you know, like, Sapir, you know, obviously you know where they came from. The legend...
Wait a minute, let me say something about that. The Hasidim have a whole different approach to secular studies. The Hasidim hold that secular studies are from the Sitra Achla. They're from the other side. They are kochos of Tumah. And they possess powers of Tumah. And therefore, to study, any secular study, is to be involved in the pursuit of something which is potentially at least dangerous and perhaps even wicked.
But how can they get benefit that early part from people who have secular things like, they only have the capacity to help them in certain areas because they have to do
Because, A, because Hasidim are much more pragmatic than the philosophy purports.
Pragmatic.
They're practical people.
It makes sense that therefore they can't.
It's not, and besides, it's not also about Noah, right? It's not about a lot of other benefits from it. They just don't study it themselves.
Is that why when I teach my students secular studies, they're like this all day? Ah! And they run in circles. The devil got him.
Lubavitcher Rebbe, for example, Lubavitcher Rebbe studied secular studies. I'm not sure how much, you know, electrical engineering and stuff like that. But he absolutely forbade his students to study secular studies. He gave express permission in certain rare occasions, but otherwise. For the general Hasidic population, this is like you said. He regarded himself as being a genius whom regular rules didn't apply.
Good for him.
But the rest,
geniuses shouldn't follow the rules.
Right, but the rest of the morons, he forbade secular studies.
There's different rules for geniuses.
What? No, neither of them went to the Sorbonne. They went to Berlin.
They obviously not.
Berlin.
He did?
Yeah. They later on, there's a mistaken impression, what's called. He heard the Bible Trevor heard lectures on the Sorbonne, but he didn't actually understand it.
For him, the normal rules don't apply.
I wanted to get that off my chest.
For him, the normal rules don't apply.
So, you know where all the groups of where they came from, but the Lodgen, what yeshiva in America and Israel became the Lodgen? When they, like, after the war, like, what yeshivas are the Lodgen?
Well, all yeshivas stem from the Lodgen.
Yeah?
Yeah. Nope.
All over Eretz Yisrael and America?
Yeah, because it was the first prototypical yeshiva. Later on, there were other yeshivas in Mir and Telz, but the first yeshiva was the yeshiva of Lodzin. So everybody who became later a rav or rosh yeshiva learned in Lodzin.
Oh, right? So everything.
And you have to understand, the original Lodzin closed in the 1880s. And the chief then, who was the last rosh yeshiva Lodzin, moved to Warsaw and died a broken man. But later on, the Volozhin was refounded by the Nasi's grandson-in-law, I think, the Befol Shapiro, but it was not at all the same yeshiva. I mean, it was in the same place, but it wasn't really the same yeshiva. So Volozhin did not have continuity.
Was there
then
yeshiva politics for the old guys and the new guys? Like,
of course, there's no yeshiva politics. The politics are just as old as yeshivas. Yeah, yeah, big internal rivalries in Voloshin between, yeah, between the Reb Chaim Voloshin's son, Reb Itzel Voloshin, took over.
Yeah.
But after Reb Itzel Voloshin, there was a fight between the son and the son-in-law. You know, there's always these things going on.
Yeah.
The Beis HaLevi had a big fight with the Netziv, and that's how the Beis HaLevi was one of the Rosh Yeshiva and Voloshin left. It was a lot of fun then. You know, there was a lot of fun in the old days, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't tell you the stories about you in school.
Yeah.
But, in the old days, for example, in Pels, early 1900s, so the Pels of Rosh Yeshiva wanted to introduce Mussar. This is 1905. This year, the first Russian Revolution, the Russo-Japanese War. So so a bunch of Bachram just rebelled.
Against the
Rosh Yeshiva.
What?
Yeah. They said they went on strike. They said, we're not learning with her. We don't believe in this thing. Then the leader of that student rebellion was the Panovich Rav.
Whoa.
Who later became the Rav Solomon Panovich. In Bnei Brak. He said, well, one time in Panovich, in Bnei Brak, there was a student strike over the issue of food. The food was not up to standard.
Huh?
And the Panovich Rav was supposed to have said that it's magiello, kumtem. He deserves it because he himself led a student rebellion, and therefore people leading student rebellions against him.
Yeah.
Now they couldn't get away with that. If you led a student rebellion today in the yeshiva, they just kick you out. It's not like the old days.
Mm-hmm.
In the good old days, the students, they really ran the joints. You know, it was like Kent State in the 1970s. You know, you had the rebellion. One of my great uncles, when he was in Palace, told me that when one of the members of the family was appointed Rosh Yeshiva, one of the rebellion made a bluff. So the older Bachrim went to the Rosh Yeshiva and said, "We can learn better than him. How dare you appoint him Rosh Yeshiva over us?"
Whoa.
You know. Those are the good old days.
Like
when men were men.
Like
now it's just morons.
See, we're just morons. It's not just we're morons in our knowledge. We're not the same type of people who want to walk away from
morons.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Yes.
The question, so
I still didn't let you say. So that Voloshin didn't have specific continuity, but many of the Rosh Yeshiva next generation came from Voloshin. The Netziv, of course, who was in Voloshin, the founders of the of Mir, Rav Elia Baruch Kameh, lots of people came from Voloshin.
Yeah, it's interesting that Pell opened 1875.
And then
it's funny
because
his
grandson
of something went to Israel and became a Zionist.
The term Zionist hadn't been invented yet. He was, it was a big old seal. Yeah.
So how did the education system get to where it is today where, like, the boys will learn only Gemara and girls actually learn sex? How could they justify girls learning sex at a study firm today?
Well, girls, which schools are we talking about now?
We're regular Orthodox school today where girls will learn sex at a study firm.
Well, they don't have the same chiv as Amutaka.
Of course, they don't have the same too. But how could if all secular knowledge is from the Tisha Acha, how could in any case?
You got the Hasidic schools.
Okay, let's just say that.
Because Mestanzim don't believe knowledge is from the Tisha Acha.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Right.
Hasidim.
Yeah.
So the first of all, they're pragmatists, and they know that at least the women have to get should be able to speak English.
Why?
Because they have to deal with non-Jewish society.
Okay.
I mean, they live there. Besides that. Women themselves, they're not from the Sitra Acha. I mean, what do we care about the women? And women Chassidim are second, even though they are the ones who wear the pants in the house, but they're second class citizens in terms of education.
Uh-huh.
They're now allowed to teach them in Chassidic schools, now to teach them Chumash and Rashi.
Why?
Rashi's Torah about that.
What?
You didn't know that?
No. You can't teach
all kinds of women. In Chassidus, strictly speaking, there's a Mishnah. into the Masechet Sota, which says you shouldn't teach Torah Shabbat to women.
Why? And it includes all halakhas.
What?
It includes all halakhas.
Includes halakhas in depth. Right?
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because they're frivolous and they'll distort stuff.
So go out, have a night on the town.
So the Beis Yaakov movement, which most Misnagdic schooling of girls originates with, and also from the Hasidim, like the Gera Hasidim, were very much in the Beis Yaakov movement to a certain extent, other Polish Hasidim as well. So they said, okay, maybe once upon a time it was like that, but nowadays we have to provide women with a higher level education. Right? But they actually have a very high level of learning. But the real Hasidic schools, and the more Hungarian, the worse it is, they take it very literally. So you're not allowed to teach women Torah Shabbat Peh. And Rashi is Torah Shabbat Peh. So therefore, Rashi and Torah. So therefore, they don't teach Rashi and Torah. In Bells, which is a progressive Hasidic circle, they will teach Rashi, but not out of a Chumash. They'll teach, they're bringing like sheets. They teach out of sheets. So that way, it's not a formal, not formally learning out of a Chumash, but learning the Rashi out of the sheets, then that's okay. By the way, in Beis Yaakov schools, right, Beis Yaakov schools, they won't let you bring in a Gemara, but if you make a sheet and quote the Gemara on the sheet, that also is considered to be okay.
What does Chabad do in terms of, are they against Rashi?
No, so Chabad is the other direction. The Rebbe was a man of many contradictions. The Rebbe promoted women learning Gemara.
To this day,
in the intensely doctrinaire Lubavitch girls' high schools, the real Mishichist ones, so there they will teach the girls Gemara.
So that was
what
Shach was fighting?
No, that's not what Shach was fighting. It's before that, but that's not what he was fighting. No. Fighting the Mishnah and other stuff. Yeah.
Does Rav have any connection with the local authorities? He's a pretty popular guy.
Generally speaking, when you had a holy man like that, so the non-Jews respected him. But he was thrown in jail a couple of times. It seems as popular in those days, the Grah, the Gungun. It seems popular to throw Jewish leaders in jail from time to time. Keep the population under control. I don't remember exactly what crime was attributed to him. I have to look it up. But he had his brush with the law. And also, he encouraged the famous Ger Tzedek. Famous Ger Avram ben Avram, the Graf Potocki.
Wow.
who was a Polish nobleman. Who, by the way, Vilna is in Lithuania. But Lithuania was not an independent state until the 1920s. Right? So until after World War I. So therefore, Lithuania was sometimes part of Poland, sometimes part of Russia, went back and forth. So Lithuania was basically then either region of Poland or region of Russia, which went back and forth. It was not independent. So the Polish nobleman, the Graf Potocki, who converted to Judaism and was eventually killed for that sin. So the Grah was very much encouraged him and consoled him and they were buried side by side. In the Vilna Cemetery. Okay. Originally, it's not like that anymore because they moved the Gross Grave.
How did Potocki become Jewish?
There's a book on the topic, but I don't know if it's fiction or non-fiction.
The Gross was really...
But there's a book on it.
The Gross said to Kavala...
Feldheim has a book, right?
The Gross had a word that he could have freed him.
Yeah, the Gross... And
he said he didn't want to die
to Hashem. Right, want to die to Hashem. That's what they say. But again, it's hard to know what parts of the story are fact and which part are fiction. What parts are fiction? It's historically true that this guy was converted and killed, but exactly what went on there, we don't know with any full measure of certainty. But yes, certainly the girl is very much involved with him. Maybe that's why he's still in the prison. I really don't remember what exactly the details were. He was in jail not so long. I don't remember how long, but not very long. But there are stories, I have to look up to see exactly what the stories are. There are some stories about the Grand Jail, I forget exactly what they teach, but there are significant stories.
Why are there groups of Hasidim who are more traditional, not progressive? As you see before, you said Bells is progressive, contrasted to what other Hungarian groups?
Satmar? Munkach?
Holosaron?
We try the extreme, we call it the Zed extreme. Then you have... Vishnitz, we have a split. Vishnitz, B'nai Brak is progressive. suspicious Monty is regressive. Right. there are two brothers who did not see eye to eye on many issues, and they split up. So I think Bubbub is more moderate, and Gare is one of the most progressive.
This is the
basis role.
What?
Is the basis role
that
way? Not the basis role, Emma Emmett. Emma Emmett, that's the father, basis role's father. Mm-hmm. He was the Emmett's son. They were always very broad-minded. And, you know, in Poland, between the wars, the Gera Chassidim were a real intelligentsia. They published very highly intellectual, sophisticated books and periodicals, and they were at the forefront of women's education. The Geras were very highly progressive.
But they're also they also like do more like learning than the other Chassidim too. Like you go Stalin is very intelligent.
So there are a lot of Chassidim. Most Chassidim are very learning.
I'm saying when I went to Israel and Jerusalem, I go to bells, they're singing and dancing and Gare the Dalai Chokan Oros and Mishnah like the Gemara that during like 2 days.
I don't know if this,
I was told
by
Vincent Costa
that the
literature
world had much more to learn. That's what their
vision system was. And I don't think it's true anymore. It used to be like that, but now everybody learns.
How come, like, you said in Hungary with the Hasidim thing, what they wrote, real the
Scrum, not Hungary, Poland.
Poland, the Scrum that they wrote were, like, brilliant.
Polish people have a pretty negative stereotype out there in the world, right?
Yeah.
But the Polish Hasidim were renowned for their brilliance and their insight.
Why?
I can't explain how the dissonance there.
No, why the literature world, except for like Yitzchak, a few others who are. But you don't have a lot of
that
in the literature world as much as...
this is one of the great mysteries of the literature yeshiva world. One of the great mysteries of the literature yeshiva world. We're obviously not going to finish the growth tonight, so, but since we, as usual, we specialize in tangents here. But the growth was very deeply mystical. He wrote lots of fun on Kabbalah. His patient, Safa de Tnusa, and Lukowski mentioned this in passing on Shabbos, he tells you actually when Mashiach is going to come. But he writes on the page, yeah, I have it at home, I can show you, that I make the reader take an oath not to reveal the date. Now, were I to understand exactly what the date is, I would not have some compunction about revealing it to you, but I don't understand exactly how the text indicates what the date is.
It's not how it reveals it in the book again, or
yeah,
everybody gets that at Beniel, but the question is what exactly the date is that the girl is deriving from there.
Right.
So, anyway...
Ramban's the same thing, too, right?
Yeah, but Ramban's date was before the girl. I suspect the girl put it very late, and that's why they didn't want to reveal it.
You can tell me, I won't tell anyone.
What?
You can tell me, I won't tell anyone.
No, I don't know it. I'm serious. I can give you the paper and show you the page. Maybe you can figure it out. His Talmud, Reb Chaim Volozhin, wrote the basic tract of the Misnagdic Yeshiva, the basic mystical tract of the Misnagdic Yeshiva world, and that, which was considered very anti-Hasidic, not very, but pretty much, and that the Nefesh HaChaim, which is also very heavily based on Kabbalah.
No one learns the part that you like. You
have that. That's the mystery. So what happened somewhere along the way? In the 80 or so years between the death of Reb Chaim Volozhin's son, Reb Itzhak, who clearly was also very much the Kabbalah, and the 1910s, 1920s, when gradually the yeshiva world, to a certain extent, due to the influence of the Hasidim, started getting slowly back into mysticism and Kabbalah, there was no trace. And the question is where it went, and I don't know. I don't have an answer for it. Who's his brother? Zubin himself? It's a very big mystery.
Yeah, But the thing before, you have to understand,
what? There's an 80-year gap in the mysticism of the yeshiva.
You have to understand, with Moshe Kadzeo, when he started putting out his Dvara, they threw him into Cherim, so that...
But nobody was starting to have Shechaim into Cherim. He was the Rosh Yeshiva.
That's true.
What? Chaim Milozhin, yeah. So to me it's a big mystery, especially because Nefesh HaChaim, those parts which people don't learn, they're very readable and they're very, very basic. So as a matter of fact, the fourth shah, which is all about learning Torah, is the most boring part of the book. Just as learning Torah is good over and over again in many different ways.
You can't say that.
What?
You can't say that. I was just
going to
ask, is not believing like something Kabbalah, especially like Nefesh HaChaim, like Sphira?
What?
It's not believing Kabbalah.
It's not clear, I would regard a person like that as unlearned, uneducated, and boorish, uncouth, but not a kind of Kleister.
Right.
Because
but
basis
like the majority of the Shkafa on certain principles of Kabbalah.
Is that bad?
I mean, it's not bad necessarily, but basically it's like relying. We live in like a material, physical world. When we have like physical responsibilities, and relying heavily on like a metaphysical hashkafa to justify something like that.
What's bad about that?
Not necessarily bad, but it's not necessarily reasonable.
Why not? You have an axe here. What? Come on, take it out from behind your back.
I mean,
let's grind this axe in public here.
So, I mean, this is always kind of like that. If someone says like I'm going to spend the rest of my life learning,
that's nice with a Kabbalah.
Well, you can say,
but... It's nice to do with mystical.
Learning
that's
is protecting the world.
What?
His learning is like...
That's true whether you believe in Kabbalah or not. Learning is a big clue to the world. The Rambam says, personally, doesn't miss it, so have in mind, I am putting the world into the side, the entire world, into the side of merit.
So there is
But, so that's not mystical. That's a question of Bishachim. It really has to do with the question of Bitachon. What does it mean to trust God? Who is saying trust God?
Why is that Bitachon? What's the source for that kind of stuff?
What do you mean, what's Bitachon? There means that there's a school of thought that one, Bitachon means that you trust in God and therefore you relinquish all worldly pursuits and just pursue the divine path. There is such a school.
Right. But that's not
what Bitachon is. That's Bitachon. It's trust.
Bitachon is like faith that God is good.
No. Bitachon is much more than that. Bitachon is trusting that God will provide. Mm-hmm. The question is to what extent you should Bitachon correlates with Yishtakus, with effort. And to what extent Bitachon correlates with Yishtakus, with satisfaction, being satisfied with the person's lot as opposed to striving for more material acquisition. I know a good essay on this topic. Most I can recommend to you. But that's a different issue. It's not a mystical, non-mystical issue. The non-mystical Litvak, the author from the Vardik, who's not known for his mysticism, was one of the greatest proponents of pure Bitachon. Complete total Bitachon.
He sent God out into the middle of the night.
That's right. Yeah.
Send God.
Yeah.
Is it true that originally seen that picture of the Gra and he had like a globe behind him by his book, so then somebody like edited the picture and they removed the globe and like the contents from there?
I don't remember such thing, but I can look it up because there is a definitive biography of the Gra in 3 volumes which came out a few years ago, which caused the Hasidim to go into an uproar because he didn't mince words about the Gra's opposition to Hasidic, which had been glossed over for many years. And in the back of the book, he has an appendix about the different paintings of the Gra. So I can go home. I can look it up at home and see what's in there.
Yeah, the Gra from Blakewood.
No, it's Madison from the Shulman. It's the name
that's
of...
Work.
Yeah, bye!
Yeah,
no. Eliyah. So... I was last time we talked about what was that on the last time?
Pizza
home. What?
Pizza home.
No, before Pizza home. That was a tangent.
Oh.
That's fine. Okay. So then it's gonna, so the Gra was mystical. Now the Chaim is mystical. Mysticism afterwards ceases. As a matter of fact, there is a major backlash against mysticism in Brisk and all those who are allied with Brisk at the end of the 19th century.
Who's
allied? What?
Who's allied
with Brisk? Much of the yeshiva world. Sure. Today, Brisk is dominant.
Can we go to the yeshiva?
But we're not there yet. We're going in order.
Oh.
Okay? We're still by the draw. We'll get to the rest of the yeshivas later on. But somebody asked me before, I don't know if that person's still here. I don't remember asking. About the curriculum of the yeshivas? Yeah, you asked. What was the question?
So, well, I was asking, like, how do they today justify those only sexual studies now?
So the yeshivas don't have that problem. Yeah. Only Chassidim have that problem. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any yeshiva throughout history that, like, emphasized, like, literature or, like, literary techniques to, like, understand color better?
No.
Well, if you... Well...
There was a part two question? Mm-hmm.
I took a sound class in college, and there's a guy who's a teacher called Heutner was very knowing English, knowing English for secular studies, was very much in line with his philosophy.
It's important to know there's another difference, which is that the Misnagid will tell you that you should speak, if you, you should be able to speak a good English. Like there's the Yeshiva in Riverdale, one of the great, one of the foremost, or I should say, leading Lithuanian yeshivas today in America is Tells Riverdale, and there almost none of the kids in that yeshiva actually graduate high school. They take a few secular courses and it peters out by the time they're in 11th grade usually. But I once met the Rosh Hashiva there, Rabbi Osband, and I was speaking to him, and he said that even though he really doesn't hold with secular studies, but he was told of reading and writing English eloquently. And he would love to get an instructor, he offered me the job, an instructor would teach reading and writing and speaking, public speaking and writing, in a way in which his bachurim be able to express themselves eloquently in English. So that actually... Why is it so funny? Okay. Now, on the other hand, so that is generally the Misnagdic approach, is that you might not have to learn secular studies, but it's good to be able to speak good English, if nothing else, because it helps you raise funds. But besides that, it helps you get your points across and makes Kiddush Hashem, makes you a more effective person. The more effective person and thinker. On the other hand, the Hasidim believe that one should specifically speak Yiddish, and if not Yiddish, one has to be English, one should speak, as one rebbe once put it to me, a tubrochener English, a broken English. We once put out, when I was learning Kong Farakwe many years ago, a periodical in English, and we brought it to the local rebbe, and we were all pleased with ourselves, and he looked at it and he said, it should be in Hebrew, but if in English, it's a broken English, at least you should put it out in a broken English, right? Like, ultra yeshivish. So I always thought that the reason why the Chassidim don't speak a good English is because they don't know how to. It's not. The Shita. The Shita does not speak like the a good English in order to remain different than the non-Jews.
Wow.
Now, of course, you have the fringes of the Chassidim, like everything else, every rule there are exceptions. But the Lubavitch, of course, even though they don't believe in secular studies at all, but they do believe in, again, it's good for fundraising purposes, in speaking a good English, right?
Kiruv.
And also you have the, the people like the Tversky family and other the Shor family and other people who are into who have a broader conceptualization of what knowledge is about. So this is not a general rule, but generally speaking, stereotypically, Hasidim are even against a good grasp of English knowledge, whereas Misnagdim, at the very least, hold it of English expression, whereas the Hasidim Misnagdim hold that, ideally speaking, a person should be able to express himself eloquently, both in print and in word, in whatever the local language is. Yeah, because the Shores were hybrid. The hybrid between Hasidim and Misnagdim.
Yeah.
The rabbi, his father, the Shore. Learned from Ritzvah, from a Hasidic family, he learned from Ritzvah's yeshivas, and they had an amalgamation of the two.
Yeah.
It works very well. It's very top. It's a very, very rewarding approach. A lot of people like that approach, including myself.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, take whatever works. Be eclectic. Why you have to limit yourself to one day?
Of course.
Huh?
Can a Hasidic woman learn the first
one? Okay.
What did Grah like the most about the Ramchal?
What?
The Ramchal to be a, I mean, the Grah seems to be a big fan of the Ramchal.
I'm seriously short.
Yeah, I'll just
do that. Most of the other works of the Ramchal were not published during the Gros lifetime. They were published later on. Mr. Sherman was published, that was a big fan of. But I have to go, there's a lot of stuff we have to go, we have to leave next week, right? The Gros Bowls, a bunch of other things we have to discuss. So,
Can you work out the date?
What?
Can you work out the date for us?
The Kelim
Rashi,
Can women
love the commentaries of the
Rambam? Oh, is this... Are these commentaries that you wrote or somebody else's?
Rambam.
Yeah, who is that?
Mike.
Oh. Rambam.
Rambam.
Oh, I see.
Did they learn the Parshim of Chumash?
No.
Hey, can I get Uncle's?
No.
Or understanding?
No.
No.
They know stories. Their stories are practical law. That's what they thought. No, Chumash stories too.
How are they Gunim or Gadas?
I don't know. I don't understand the life of a Hasidic woman. It seems to me to be a very empty and strange life, but yeah. Baruch Hashem, God did not create a Hasidic woman, so I don't have to go suffer this. But
thing also that I couldn't, it's so hard to be Hasidic because everything takes forever. Like
davening
takes a very long time.
Well, also man, davening seems to take forever too. I'm not sure it's phenomenal.
I finished the
Amida
like 10 minutes before.
Okay. Who's
that's why you get a good book for
me.
Or maybe if you're gonna anyway, maybe you should use it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You want to ask questions, sorry? Did you want you had your hand up? Yeah.
Is it a Chol Hashem to read a book while away from people finish the Amida?
No. Yeah.
then
it is a chilul of yourself, but not a chilul of Hashem. Yeah. If you are trying to manifest the moron factor to its greatest extent, you are doing a fine job.
See, I was thinking, I'm sorry, like, that, you know, might be okay to go that way because, like, they think, oh, things like, because protected from myself, but I'm afraid, like, I'm like, the boys, like, on the weekend, some of them, like, they turn around or go down, take off their clothes.
Nah, it's a very small amount. Don't
yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
It seems like this place might have a city store. There's few people, like, down the fringes.
Really? I didn't even think someone just poured
them. No.
What is the grass like in Tanya? Was one like a reaction to
the other?
That's
kind of reaction time. Very few.
Where are you learning
this
from?
They're very few. I mean, in terms of major theological issues. Some of the Chassidim, the next time really was to prevent all these things from a misnagdic viewpoint, and also to, you know, to show that the mice is the Iker, not the Machshava, a few other aspects of city points. So it occurs on 1,000 years
ago. What's this?
It's the Grub's life.
The Grub's life is just today. It's part of the great learning, which again, with the circles, women would allow to learn. There's no formal education system.